Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Leumi's first quarter 2020 results conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded May 27th, 2020. With us on the line today is Mr. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO. I would like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respected company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. Such forward-looking statements include but are not limited to product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, risks in product and technology development, and the effect of the company's accounting policies, as well as certain other risk factors, which are detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the various securities authorities. A PowerPoint presentation, which is available on the bank's website, www.bankleumi.co.il, will be used during the conference call. I would now like to turn over the call to Ms. Daphna Golden, VP Investor Relations. Ms. Golden, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for taking the time to join us on this results call of Bank Leumi's financial statements for the first quarter ended March 31st, 2020. Omer Ziv, first EVP and CFO, will be presenting the development, strategy, and major takeaways from the financial statements. We are joined today by our colleagues, Dr. Gil Bufman, Chief Economist, and Shlomo Goldfarb, Chief Accountant. The presentation can be found on the IR section of our website and on the TASE website as well. I'd now like to turn the call over to Omer.
Thank you, Daphna, and good day all. I would like to thank you for joining us to review Leumi's Q1 2020 results. It has been a unique and challenging quarter. The current losses due to COVID-19 are mainly reflected in a significant increase in the loan loss expenses and substantial losses in the capital markets. Having said that, it's important to keep in mind the following 3 points. Firstly, almost the entire increase in the loan losses is due to an increase in the collective provision. The increase in the specific provision is relatively low. Moreover, while some of the other banks in Israel published their financials in March and also recorded a material increase in loan loss provision due to the coronavirus in the fourth quarter of last year, in Leumi, the entire increase was recorded in this quarter. Secondly, until now, the vast majority of losses from the capital markets that were written in the first quarter were offset in the second quarter. Having said that, I would like to mention that the capital markets have been volatile lately, and this volatility might continue. Thirdly, the vast majority of these losses were offset by a material decrease in the pension liability due to the increase in their discount rate. We look at this liability as a natural hedge to our interest risk exposure. The point is that the profit from this significant decrease in the pension liability is recorded directly to the comprehensive income and from there to the P&L over a period of about 10 years. This is the reason that even though the losses amounted to 232 million shekels, the total comprehensive income amounted to a significant positive number, 1.4 billion shekels. Now, before moving further to the financial analysis, with your permission, I would like to touch upon the coronavirus pandemic in Israel, the stabilizer introduced by the government and the Bank of Israel, and some measures that we have taken in order to cope with the spread of COVID-19. I will start with slide number 3. The severity of COVID-19 in Israel has been modest compared to other countries. Israel, with a population of about 9.2 million, has had to date less than 17,000 COVID-19 cases, with approximately 2,000 active cases and less than 300 deaths. The vast majority of infected people were not in critical condition, and the death rate is comparatively low. Israel's population is relatively young. The median age is less than 30, an advantage in dealing with the virus. In addition, the government acted swiftly to reduce international air travel and to impose a nationwide lockdown that lasted for about 6 weeks. The lockdown has been loosened substantially since late April, and most of the economic sectors have now started to be active again. The Israeli government's initial aid program, introduced in March 2020, included a declared fiscal impulse of 18 billion shekels, followed by a declared expansion to 100 billion shekels in May. The Bank of Israel's steps included, among other things, a reduction of the interest rate from 25 basis points to 10 basis points, QE in the form of government bond purchases of up to 50 billion shekels, repo lines created in shekels for non-bank financial companies receiving both government bonds and corporate bonds, and FX swap lines for Israeli banks. Continuing to slide 4. COVID-19 has led to a leap in digital adoption by customers across business lines. This refers both to customers who were considered non-digital and to new digital solutions offered by the bank. In order to cope with the pandemic, we've deployed a company-wide effort to continue to assist our customers while ensuring employee safety and maintaining security. In a very short period of time, we've migrated to working remotely on all fronts, the frontline, back office, and headquarter functions. As part of our effort to aid our customers, we have offered tailored solutions for corporate customers. We have granted secured loans with government guarantees, and have enabled most of our customers to receive a deferral in payment in all of the business sectors. All of the above were achieved in conjunction with ongoing and heightened monitoring of risk factors and cutting of costs in order to mitigate the effects of reduced income. Moving on to the next slide. Based on the effects of COVID-19 on Israel's economy, the Bank of Israel's forecast as of late May 2020 for the main macroeconomic parameters are as follows. GDP minus 4.5% in 2020 and positive GDP growth of 6.8% in 2021. Unemployment rate 6.3% in 2020 and 6.7% in 2021. Inflation rate minus 0.5% in 2020 and positive 0.7% in 2021. Interest rate, according to the Bank of Israel's forecast, in mid-2021, the interest rate is expected to be 0 to 0.1%. Now, with your permission, I will turn back to the financial results. Moving on to slide 6. The net loss for Q1 2020 was 232 million shekels. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, this loss was driven by, first, a substantial increase in loan loss expenses, which totaled 860 million shekels, of which nearly 90% was in collective provision. Second, significant losses in the capital markets. The non-interest income for Q1 2020 presented losses of 660 million shekels. As I pointed out, the vast majority of these losses have been offset since the end of the quarter. Yet, the markets continue to be volatile. As I mentioned earlier, there is a huge gap between the P&L results and the comprehensive income due to a decrease in the pension liability of nearly 3 billion shekels as a result of the increase in the discount rate. This reduction is recorded directly to the comprehensive income. Parallel to the recovery in the capital markets after the balance sheet date, there has been an increase in the pension liability after the balance sheet date. As a result of the losses in the P&L, the financial ratios for Q1 2020 are not at all indicative. Loan loss provision 1.2%, cost income ratio 74%, and the ROE minus 2.6%. Continuing on to slide 7, which shows the breakdown of income and expenses in greater detail. Net interest income increased by 2.3%, driven mainly by growth in the credit portfolio. In Q1 2020, the credit portfolio increased materially, mainly due to the use of credit lines and the liquidity needs of our customers. I will elaborate later in the presentation. The NIM reached 2.07%, similar to that of last year. The NIM was adversely affected by a negative CPI of 0.5% in the first quarter of 2020 and by the sharp decrease in the Fed interest rate in March. This decrease, as well as the decrease in the Bank of Israel interest rate in April, are expected to have a negative impact on the NIM in the coming quarters. With regard to the net interest income, some of this negative impact is expected to be offset by the substantial increase in loans and deposits, and by increase of some of the spread during the crisis. The decrease in the non-interest finance line item is mainly related to the losses in the capital market, and as I mentioned earlier, most of the losses were offset after the balance sheet date. I will elaborate in the coming slides on loan loss expenses, the increase in commissions, and the reduction in expenses. Moving on to the next slide. The loan loss expenses, which totaled 860 million shekels, are highly exceptional compared to previous quarter. While the increase in the specific loan loss expenses, which amounted to 104 million shekels, is relatively low compared to previous quarter, the major increase is in the collective provision. The NPL is still at a low level of 74 basis points. The increase in the collective provision of 756 million shekels is due to the expected effects of the coronavirus on our credit portfolio. It is based, among other things, on the assumption of the Bank of Israel regarding the unemployment rates, GDP pace of growth, specific internal analysis of the risks involved in our different credit sectors, and other factors. We have increased the collective provision in order to cope with a potential increase in the classification of debts in the future from non-problematic debts to problematic debts, classification within problematic debts categories, and the possible adverse development in the number of days in arrears. I'm moving forward to slide 9. Q1 is also exceptional in terms of fees and commissions. In Q1, we recorded an increase of more than 10% in fees and commissions. The main increase was due to a security transaction and due to exchange differential as a result of extensive forex activity, mainly by institutional customers. I would like also to draw your attention to the slight increase in credit card commissions, even though the activity in March was lower than usual. This is the result of the improvement in our percentage of the interchange commission. Moving on to the next slide. Operating and other expenses in Q1 2020 decreased by 7.3% compared to last year to 1.8 billion shekels. The decrease is attributed to salaries and related expenses, which were down by 200 million shekels, mainly due to provisions for bonuses. I'm continuing to slide 11. Net loans to public at the end of March 2020 totaled nearly 295 billion shekels, an increase of 6.1% since last year and 4.3% since the beginning of the year. This high increase was affected by the coronavirus crisis, which led to a huge amount of credit line usage and to a substantial increase in demand for loans by our customers in order to cope with their liquidity needs. The increase was mainly in corporate business, where the analysis of risk is on an individual basis. As in previous quarters, the increase in credit was also in middle market and mortgages. In parallel, we have continued to be very cautious in the unsecured retail and with small businesses, which are considered to be riskier segments. Following the lift of the lockdown and the gradual reopening of the economy, some of the loans that were taken during the first quarter were redeemed after the balance sheet date. Continuing on to the next slide. As of March 2020, deposits by the public amounted to nearly 419 billion shekels, a 12% increase since the end of 2019. This significant increase was across the board and reflects, among other things, a transfer of funds from the capital market to deposits due to the volatility in the capital market. As a result, the loan-to-deposit ratio continued to be relatively conservative and reached a level of 70%. I'm proceeding now to slide 13. Due to the coronavirus crisis, the Bank of Israel decided at the end of March 2020 to reduce the minimum regulatory capital adequacy requirement until September 2022. In accordance with this instruction, the minimum capital requirements from the bank are 9.25% for CET1 and 12.75% for the total capital ratio. The Bank of Israel also declared that given the economic situation resulting from the coronavirus crisis, it is expected that the banks will reconsider the dividend distribution and the continued implementation of buyback plans at least until the end of September 2020. As a result, the bank's board of directors decide in mid-April at this stage to discontinue the dividend distribution and the implementation of the buyback plan. I'm turning now to slide 14. This slide illustrates our solid capital ratios, CET1 and TCR, our leverage and liquidity ratios, in all of which we are much above the minimum requirements. The decrease in CET1 and the TCR is mainly due to the sharp increase in credit since the beginning of the year and due to the dividend distribution of nearly 300 million shekels and the implementation of the first phase of the buyback plan in a period of losses. The compensation through the drop in the pension liability of nearly 3 billion shekels is not reflected yet in these ratios, since it will be recorded to the regulatory ratios over 8 quarters. I am moving on to my final remarks. There is still a lot of uncertainty regarding the effects of the first wave of the coronavirus on the economy. A lot of uncertainty whether there will be a second wave and many other questions. Throughout the presentation, I elaborated on the effects of the first wave on the financials. But there are additional aspects such as the increase in the use of digital channels and solutions across the board and the possibility of working remotely in different areas. It will be interesting to see the development of these aspects in the future. I would like to thank you again for joining us today and to open the line for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Tavi Rosner of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Reimer on for Tavi. Thank you for taking my questions. Just going back to your comments on the provisions and the 90% to the collective segment, can you give us any color about what's included there? Are there any specific industries reflected there, or is it just a general conservatism?
Hi, thank you for your question. It's a composition of two elements or a few elements. First, as I mentioned in the presentation, the expectation for the unemployment rate, the GDP, and other macroeconomic parameters are there for all the sector, and they impact the calculation. Secondly, we've made an internal analysis sector by sector in order to see the increase in risk of each sector due to COVID-19. Just to give you a sense, we've taken each sector and rank it between 1 and 5 in order to see the specific increase in risk. And as you can imagine, the first line sectors are the airline sector, the hospitality sector, the energy sector, and in the second line you can find the retail sector, etc. So it's a combination of macroeconomic parameters which affect all of the sector, and a specific analysis of there are tens of sectors in our calculation. And above that, in order to cope with potential increase in problematic debt or within the categories of problematic debt and potential increase in the delinquent payment, we put another buffer based on different estimations from different aspects. We took into account different scenario that we are making here in the bank, and all of this at the end reflects in this 90% increase, this 756 million shekel increase in the collective provision. Now looking forward, it depends whether our estimation were too conservative or maybe there will be maybe the situation will be worse than our expectation, and also it depends. But and it's not taking into account currently a second wave. If there will be a second wave, it's completely different scenario. It's mainly based on the situation on the first wave effect, and if there will be a significant second wave, so it will be a different story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Just relating to the increase of digital channels that you also mentioned earlier, and about how many of the employees are being able to work from home, given the success of this, Can you perhaps accelerate branch closures?
Now, the branch closure is not the question, because what we it's mainly affect the uses in the branches, and I will explain. It doesn't matter whether we have 200 branches or 190 branches. What is more important is the office space of these branches. And since there is a leap in the use of digital channels, it may increase the phase of decreasing the office space in the future, because the leap in the digital is not only in non-digital customers, is also with the solutions that we implement with regard to corporate, for example, with regard to guarantees and et cetera. And according to our experience, after those customers discover the digital, they don't want anymore to go back to the traditional channels.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
The next question is from Borja Ramirez of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, and thank you for your time. I have two quick questions. Regarding loan losses, assuming there is no second outbreak of COVID-19, is it a sensible assumption to assume that cost of risk could decline in coming quarters? And my second question is, there has been a strong growth in loans in the quarter and also in deposits. Could you provide more details on the potential evolution of net interest income for 2020? Thank you.
Hi, thank you for your questions. First, with regard to the first question,
just a minute.
If there will not be a second wave, we believe that current provision are well enough. We don't need any more provision, and we calculate our provision on conservative assumptions. So we are satisfied with the total provision, and if there will not be a significant second wave, we believe that in the next quarter, we expect that in the next quarter, the credit loss expenses will be significantly lower. That first. But this expectation is based on what we see currently in Israel. As I described in the presentation, there was almost a completely lift of the lockdown. Most of the industry reopened again. Even the restaurant and hotel and swimming pool were open today in Israel. So our assumption is based on what we see. If things will get worse, so it will be, as I mentioned, in a different scenario. That's first. With regard to the loans and deposits, I would say that the major increase was driven by the corporate segment, in which we feel very comfortable because the analysis there is customer by customer. The increase is exceptional with regard to the Lumi pace of growth in loans. It was 12 billion shekels in one quarter. As I mentioned, some of these loans were redeemed after the balance sheet date, since corporate feel much more comfortable in these days than the panic that was during March. But looking forward, if our pace of growth was around 3% a year, 4% a year, I believe that since we kicked down the year with a very high percentage of growth, so looking forward for the total year, we expect at this stage that the total growth will be higher than in the usual year. With regard to the deposit, I would say that in opposite to the credit, in which I mentioned that some of it was redeemed after the balance sheet date, the deposit, the level is more or less as it was at the end of March. So in terms of amount, those numbers will affect positively the net interest income during the next quarter. The net interest income are affected also by other things. For example, the CPI. The CPI in the first quarter was minus 0.5%. And according to the forecast of the Bank of Israel, from now till the end of the year, it's expected to be zero, because for the total year, the expectation is 0.5%. So this is also will affect positively the net interest income. On the negative side, I will mention again that there was a drop in the Fed interest rate. There was also a decrease in the Bank of Israel interest rate. In April. So what we've done is that because of the crisis, we increased in some area the margins, but still the total effect I expect to be negative effect on the income. So I cannot give you numbers, but this is the major parameter which will affect the net interest income in future quarters.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Charmsol Yoon of Lazard Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me, Uma?
Yeah, I hear you well. How are you?
Cool. Very good. Thank you for the presentation. Hey, just one quick follow-up. Did you just say that the overall net, so loan growth will be positive, NIM will come down, but net income will be slightly negative. Is that what you just alluded to?
No, I didn't say that. I said okay. That there are different parameters which affect the net interest income. I mentioned that in terms of amount, so there is an increase in the loans, as they pointed out. There is increase in deposit. So so in terms of amount, it will have a positive impact on the net interest income. Another parameter which will have a positive impact is the CPI, which was 0.5%, minus 0.5%, in 0.5% in the first quarter. And for the total year, this is the expectation. So it means that now the expectation is that the CPI will be zero. So it's higher than the minus 0.5% in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, the third positive aspect was with regard to the increase in margin due to the increase in risk. There is an increase in risk in credit, so we update in some areas the interest level. So this is the parameter which will affect positively the net interest income. The negative impact will come from the Fed interest rate decline and from the Bank of Israel interest rate decline. What will be the total effect is based on your, I can't give you a number. It will be irresponsible for me to give a number because there is lots of unknown at this stage. So I just explained the parameters which will affect the net interest income. I didn't say that the total effect will be negative. It can go different directions.
Sounds good. Two questions. One is, in your costs, how much of the benefit were there from the bonus provision? And second question is, I think your deposit cost went down 16 basis points year on year. Is there any further deposit repricing left remaining?
Is there any what? I didn't hear you.
Further deposit repricing remaining.
Well, I would say that, like that. With regard to the bonus provision, based on the result, you can imagine that there is no bonus when there is no bonus provision when you recorded the losses of 230 million shekels. With regard to the deposit cost, they were affected by the reduction in the by the changes in the Fed interest rate. Last year, the Fed interest rate was around 2.4%, as far as I remember, on average. Now it was much, much lower. And it's also a mix of cash and other deposits, which affected the price of deposits. So you have to analyze all these aspects in order to get to any conclusion.
Okay, and just last follow-up on the bonus provision, can you quantify the amount or not?
I pointed out that
how much was the benefit compared to last year? I mean, this year's zero is very clear, but how much?
I cannot give you the decline with regard to last year. Because it's not public data, so I cannot share it in this conference call. But I can say that due to the result, there is no bonus provision in this quarter.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Vishal Iyer of Blue Bay Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Just a quick one, I guess, on the real estate and construction sector, if you could give some color as to what the health of that sector is. And then just secondly, to clarify, I think if I heard you right, you mentioned that the pension liability decline has not been registered in capital. Is that correct? Thank you.
I didn't hear you well. Can you repeat on the first question? The second question I hear, but not the first.
Sorry about that. The first question was, could you give some color on the health of the real estate and construction sector?
Mm-hmm. I will answer to the question about the pension liability, and Mr. Gil Bachman, our chief economist, will refer to the construction sector. With regard to the pension liability, there was a decrease of the pension liability in Bank Leumi is a natural edge to our interest risk exposure. So what happened in this quarter is that the spread opened significantly. So on the one end, it decreased significantly our securities. On the other end, it reduced significantly the pension liabilities. But due to mismatch in the accounting treatment with regard to the pension liability and with regard to the securities, all the decrease in the pension liability was recorded directly to the comprehensive income, while With regard to the security, some of the losses were recorded to the P&L. That's first. With regard to the regulatory capital requirements, while the reduction in the securities due to the increased spread was recorded to the regulatory CET1 immediately, the positive effect of the reduction of the pension liability will be recorded to the regulatory capital over the next 8 quarters. So there is a mismatch. You see the negative impact of the opening of the spread on the capital ratio, and you don't see yet the positive impact, which is due to the reduction in the pension liability. You will see it in the following 8 quarters. And also I would like to mention that, as I pointed out in the presentation, there was a recovery after the balance sheet date in the capital market. So also it impacts the pension liability at the same way. I mean that in the second quarter, you will see a positive impact of the recovery of the capital market. Till now, because I don't want to make any expectation with regard to what will happen in the capital market in June. But till now, there is a recovery in the capital market, so there is a positive impact. You will see in the second quarter a positive impact of the security on the capital ratio. And with regard to the pension liability, it will increase in the second quarter. In order to, it's like the total effect will be that you will see the positive impact of the security, but you won't see the negative impact of the pension liability in the second quarter. So I hope I was clear enough.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear.
Is it answer your second question?
Yes, that's perfectly clear. Thank you.
Okay, so now Gil will attribute to the first question.
Sure. Hi, Gil Bassman here. I'll talk briefly about the real estate sector here in Israel. The first part of the sector, obviously, is the residential sector, which is probably the most important and many times gets most of the attention. And the main characteristic of the residential real estate sector is one of excess demand, or in other words, a lack of adequate supply. And that has to do mainly with the fact that Israel's demographic characteristics are very strong, and we have a population growth rate of about 2% per year, which generates about 60,000 new households per year, and that's at the same time while we have housing starts running at about 50,000 or so. So there's this basic demand, and it's a very, very tight market. Moreover, we might see a return of investors, the buy-to-let people, coming back into the market and increasing demand even further. So that part of the market is quite strong. The macro story of Israel this year, despite the substantial shock to the economy, the macro story is still okay, especially compared to other countries. So all in all, the residential real estate part of Israel looks quite good. When it comes to office space, do remember that Israel has a fast-growing high-tech services sector. It's a sector that doubles itself every 5 years or so. And this sector requires a lot of office space. And with that being the case, and while seeing ongoing growth, even throughout the first quarter of the year for which we have data for high-tech services, this means that this demand element has remained very strong and is going to continue to be very strong. So that is going to support this part of the real estate market, the office space market, and that is despite the fact that we have a lot of supply about to come in over the next 2 years, so we might see a temporary and passing decline in occupancy rates, but it's something that the market will deal with quite well, mainly because of the ongoing increase in demand by a segment of the economy that was not hit in an adverse way by the virus. If anything, demand for high-tech services, cybersecurity, fintech, software has increased during this period. The last segment is obviously retail space, and that's going to be a challenging story there because we don't know exactly how the consumer is going to change his preferences, and if there is going to be a big move away from shopping malls or things like that, that still has to be seen. So if there are some risks there, I think they pertain mainly to large shopping malls, not so much specific small shopping centers that might be located in new neighborhoods being built up. So that's where there is a little bit of a risk, mainly uncertainty, going ahead, seeing how the virus will affect consumption patterns and how that will affect the demand for retail space. So in a nutshell, that's what we see for the real estate sector here in Israel.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. This concludes Leumi's first quarter 2020 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.